The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Well, since we're cold, and since we're coming in here bearing our souls immediately, I just gotta say, first of all, you know, it's really nice to join you. You have been promising me a spot on this show for a minute, and you know,
we've been trying to get it together.
Well, I've been ready, and you know, I just was like, well, maybe he don't believe in my ability to banter on his program, but I can. And so, glad to be here. I did find your method of questioning for this show to be very unique. Really? Well, I've done podcasts where people ask me, you know, about certain things that I like, my interests and stuff like that. But then I've never told someone, the host rather, or a producer of a show, what my interests were, and have them dismiss me in such the craziest way. Like, because
maybe you're listening to the Jonathan episodes, because we just, when I'm,
well, I don't know. See, look, I'm saying is, you asked me what I was obsessed with. I gave you three things that I think really speak to the heart of who I am as an individual, and then you were like, well, I'm not following none of that. Fuck off. We can do it. And you know what? I respected it, honestly. I was kind of stunned. So I was like, oh, okay. All right.
But sometimes people will bring stuff and I'm like, I don't even watch that shit. So
you don't know what you said with the
shows that you were talking about, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the shows.
But listen, you should tell, I was tell,
vulnerable.
Talk to me
That's
about
a very
them.
Vulnerable thing. That's a very vulnerable thing to reveal is the things that you're watching. Because that tells you that person's taste.
Yeah.
And I think my palette is very Neapolitan.
No, they're like, those are like well-known. Well, let's get into them. First off, everybody, welcome to the B-List. Everyone, I'm B. This is Alex English. You guys might know him as a writer from SNL. He's also a stand-up comedian, right? I didn't actually check with you before how you wanted to be introduced, but you know, you do stand-up.
You're saying everything right.
Okay, cool.
Maybe not in the right order, but you're saying everything right.
Well, you've written before. You've written on such shows as The Rundown with Robin Thede on
BET.
BET. Did you say EBT?
No, Thede. Her name is Thede.
And
her name is Thede, but then you heard me. See, I'm not, well, I don't work for them no more, so you can really call it whatever you want.
Okay. And The Fix with Jimmy Carr on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, welcome. Welcome. But thank now you. You're currently a writer on SNL.
Yeah.
We met because we were part of, well, I was like, you were stand up on, and I've talked about this show before on here, So Many Issues with Lucas Tim. Mm-hmm. You were a guest on his live show. I was on the live show, probably, I think, the one before that. Mm-hmm. But now I just go to all of them because he's like, I love him.
Yeah, it's a cool little spot, and he's a cool host.
Yeah, he's cool.
I had to let him know, though. I was like, you know, I notice sometimes I like say yes to stuff without really doing my research, and then mm-hmm. the day of, I found out it was like Housewives themed, and I was like, I know that show has like a lot of those references. He cares a lot about that and political discourse, which you know I'm all for, but uh-huh. I'm very limited in my housewives.
That's all right.
Dialogue. I know the black ones.
The Potomac ones, and then the ones in the beige ones.
All of them. They all black. Listen, Potomac is funny because everybody on that show is trying to pretend like they're not a mean ass black ass auntie. You know what I mean?
They literally are that. That's like all of them are
equally mean aunties that get on your nerves, mm-hmm. but you can't. You know, you really can't block them. You can't say nothing.
The ones on Potomac are like especially churchy, aunties.
Exactly, and all of Atlanta's housewives are like doting black aunties. Like all the Atlanta aunties would probably be like, all the Atlanta raw housewives are like, girl, leave that boy alone. You know uh-huh. what I mean? Like if you're acting out and that's your mama's sister, your mama like kind of scolded you for doing something. And yeah, your mama's like, your auntie, one of the real housewives mm-hmm. of Atlanta, all of them are like, have the energy of like, leave that boy alone. Like, let you do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Let you eat real late, you know, like cook mm-hmm. cookies and shit for breakfast. Like irresponsible auntie.
So
yeah.
But you know, I talk a bit about housewives on here, but that's not all we talk about. So
I knew you
coming into it, you weren't in that world. But
I know your content too that you post, B. I've been following Instagram. That for a little minute. So I'm like, okay.
Did you follow me before Lucas Tim's show or?
I might have met somewhere else, but somewhere, I don't know. I can't even recall half the time where I meet people. But yeah, I saw there's housewife related. Yeah, yeah. material, and I'm like, well, certainly I can bring it on some level, you know, like it's probably a really good thing that Nene Leakes is no longer on TV regularly, you know.
I agree with mental health for her health's sake,
you know,
for our mental health.
But and it's also equally important that we keep Phaedra Parks off television because she did a really bad thing.
Well, she's gonna be back. You didn't know this.
Back to what?
They're bringing her to that show Married to Medicine.
What medicine is she married to?
She's engaged to a doctor, of course.
But she's not married. Well, see, there's no rules to this shit anymore. There's just no rules. But why is she allowed to be back on a television show when she falsely accused someone
of sexual assault?
That's fucked up. Crazy.
That's so
and,
crazy.
And
to
honestly,
me.
She's the least, to me, she's one of the least impressive housewives.
Really? Like, wow. See, I think she's at least funny. I'm not a total hater. I can't be a total hater and say that.
She does the thing that bothers me a lot about a lot of like older black women who aren't even that old. She's like, ooh, child, I gotta go to church and perch. I gotta go to sleep for church and clutch my pearls, child. You're 42 years old. Like, what are you talking about?
To be fair, though, she's an old soul, kind of.
But come on, like that. I just hate when like young black women take on an older persona than they necessarily need to. It's so weird.
I walk around my house like an auntie. I mean, I walk like limping and like I do. So like, there's some things.
But you're not. Stop it. Stop it. That's going to put you in an early grave. Chill out.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
You're not that. And then like, so now her image, the last I've seen of like whatever she puts online, isn't she like posing in like bikinis and shit like that?
Yeah, she's like totally different now.
So what
she's
the
like
fuck is going on? How do those two match up? They don't.
Yeah.
Either you're going to be a city girl or you're going to be in the church. Like, well, what you going to do?
In Atlanta long enough, you know, some things. Have you seen all these fight videos coming out of Atlanta? Like, what is going on?
It's baddies. I was trying to talk to you about that, but you don't watch baddies. No.
Well, we'll get to that because that's what I want to do.
Wait, fight videos coming out of, you mean like out of Atlanta?
Yeah, it's like, okay, so you know the whole Twitter thing, like the Twitter algorithm is now literally broken and shit. But like literally every time, and it's Instagram too.
It's not just Atlanta where that type of violence is happening.
No, for sure. But it's like the flavor that I'm, maybe they just, the algorithm is working so that they know what I will watch the way through.
Yeah, you like trash. Yeah, you like watching some good trash. And that's not bad. Like, but I see you like, also post about your political beliefs and stuff like that. So you have knowledge of both, which is very important to have. It's important to have both.
You have to balance.
If you have one extreme, you really are a weirdo. So, yeah.
Well, I guess we'll get right into this. I mean, Biden decided to announced his re-election campaign for 2024 today.
Sure.
What are your...
Go ahead, Joe.
Go ahead. Yeah, exactly.
Who the fuck else do we have? Nope, we don't have nobody else.
Thank you.
So it's like, let's just keep it with this motherfucker. Like, this is, I mean, I was just saying how important it is to be plugged into, you know, politics and, mm-hmm. you know, the mess as well. But I have really enjoyed not knowing what the fuck the president has been doing every single damn day. That has been so nice. Hasn't it been really nice? Because, I mean, we think a lot of us relate. You know he doing something, dog. Like, the other day, I was in, I had just gotten, last week, I had just flown into my hotel in Austin. I was doing the Moon Tower Comedy Festival, and I got into my hotel, and I turned on the news, and Biden was like, I don't know where he was, but he was like, it was happening right then and there. It was live. Because, you know, whenever the president shows up speaking somewhere, they just shut everything down and see what he's getting ready to say. But it just felt really good to, like, just watch it and have the TV stay on mute.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, like, he's not saying any transphobic or racist shit.
He ain't calling nobody a bitch. He ain't, you know, he ain't cussing nobody out. Because, like, when Trump was on TV, you was like, oh, shit. It was like Zeus. It was like, oh, shit, what the fuck he about to say, dog? What is he about to do, dog?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you would run late to meet up with people for shit, just listening to this motherfucker. And that's not a healthy way to be. It's not a healthy way to live.
The Trump years probably shaved like 7 years off of all of our lives. Let's be real.
Hell yeah. You over here trying to limp around like you a motherfucker. Yeah, like
I wasn't like
woman.
That before 2016.
Don't let them do that to you, dog. To the people listening, don't let government do that to you, dog. They're trying to shave years off your life, turn off the TV. I had to argue with my mom for a second the other day because I was asleep in my bed at like 11:30 in the morning. And my mom, or whatever time it was when it happened, but my mom called me and was like, I was like, hello. And I was just waking up. She was like, oh, good. You're not in that garage.
What garage?
Like, what? She was talking about the garage.
Oh, in the New York garage. Okay.
My mom keeps CNN on 24 hours a day. She's just as bad as like Fox News people who consume that shit all day. So my mom will find out about some New York shit maybe days before I even find out about it. And whenever someone...
And it's like, it'll always be like something happened in like the deep Bronx. I'm like, mom, you know where I live.
You know where,
like,
I live.
Come on.
Places I would never be.
She's like, all right, I was just checking if you weren't in the Bronx today or something.
My mom is back in Michigan and she ain't, you know, when she's at home, all she got is her news and her husband and her dog that she yells at. Like, like it's a human. But I'm just like, it was just so funny. Like, I'm like, mom, turn off the TV.
Yeah,
go outside or watch something else. Like, you know, I think liberal millennials, we are just as much culpable for our left wing parents who can't seem to ever turn off Rachel Maddow. I think we are just as responsible as Republican kids, Republican millennials are.
But we're not being lied to as much.
Yeah, and we're not. And
we
I
read
would
books.
Say, and at least, when our folks do it, you know, when something happens, they not fucking, you know, barging into the fucking Capitol.
Yeah, Capitol.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we may fuck up a Target, but like, come on.
And they can rebuild, you know what I mean? They're not changing laws in Target, you know what I mean? It's cool.
We're not defecating inside of the fucking Capitol on January 6th. Like, there's quite a difference.
Depends on who you talk to.
Yeah. No, but today it's like, you know, like, Biden decides to announce his reelection, and the first thing I'm hearing from all of the different people, well, he's so old. Okay, but so is Trump. So what you want me to do? Like, who does this help?
Yeah.
The other option is transphobic, racist bigots that are sexist, that are trying to end abortion, ban books, burn books, be in bathrooms. They're worried about kids' genitals. It's fucking weird. They're weirdos. It's like, that's the alternative. So if your biggest thing that you have against Joe Biden is that he's old, meet Mitch McConnell. Like, these people are old as dirt.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems to me like, instead of spinning our wheels about what Trump is doing, especially if, like, Democrats, I mean, because, you know, I'll be honest when I say I've been kind of reading and watching, like, there was this one black Republican dude who was like on a Daily Show not too long ago. I think at this point, Trevor was, I think Tim something.
Well, he's Tim Scott.
Tim Scott. Now,
he's running for president.
He's running for president and
North Carolina,
you know,
Harrisman.
It's rough because I never want to be like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
I always want to read up on the person. And it doesn't seem like.
Because you don't want to be like, there's only one way to be black, too. Because it's like.
True. And I got to think, I've always been of the mind. I know a lot of people be having like their opinion. A lot of people have their opinions about, especially in the black community. They have a lot of opinions about black Republicanism and how it's like a stain to be a Black person and be Republican. But I mean, I guess maybe it's based on where I was raised and like where my family dynamics, and I like come from like a pretty bipartisan family, if you will. Like I got a lot of older relatives that like fuck with Clarence Thomas heavy, you know what I mean? So like, I've heard, which is a sentence you've never heard ever in your life.
Literally no one has ever said that,
but I got family, and I mean for the most part my family is pretty liberal, but I mean I listen to the way these people speak, you know, a lot of them are still living, so I'm like okay, there is a space for Black, and honestly I'd be more afraid if none of us were there, you know. So there has to be a middle ground. Or there has to be a middle ground there has to be some shred of representation that doesn't go off the fucking wall. And when I watch Tim Scott and I read the little bit that I have up on him, nothing about him says to me like evil fringe Republican. Everything he says to me, in the same way that like there are Republicans who vote liberal for the liberal candidate if they speak to, and we call those people centrists, of course.
Is it
then possible? He gives me the idea that there is a possibility of being a Republican centrist, which is kind of the best of what you can get sometimes, depending on the issues. But it's also people vote based on their issues. They vote based on the issue that matters.
I think people used to vote on issues, but now I think that the cult
of MAGA
and the Republican Party is so far into the cult of personality that like they will go down the drain with Trump. Like he got indicted and it only helped his support. Like they're so bought in on the personality of him. It won't be DeSantis. It's not going to be anybody else. It will be Donald Trump, and it's a full-fledged criminal. So
do
now
you
the
think
party...
that's the overwhelming majority in that party though, in the Republican Party?
Oh, see, but the thing is, it is the base. That's who's really going to end up deciding the nominee, who is, I'm already calling it, guys, it's going to be Donald Trump. I'm putting money on it. I know it. So, but the thing is that someone like,
because he's not going to jail, we know that much.
We'll see.
I think if this motherfucker avoids this, I honestly believe he's going to get out of this some type of way. I mean, might go down as the most hardcore snake oil salesman in history.
That's crazy. But he's going to be indicted in Georgia for sure. So this will be his only indictment. So get ready. But
he
fuck all them.
I mean, sure. But I'm just saying. I brought up Tim Scott to say, like, when the Democratic Party has like a well untapped, when we're scrambling. You know, and what are we going to be doing in the next 4 years if not voting for the best person in the other party? Because to me, it's like if you can't even find a name after the first term. I mean, people were talking about Obama by the time George W. Bush was wrapping up his, you know, second term. So if, you know, we need to be having that, and that really needs to be the conversation. We need more people on the forefront declaring, but people are afraid to. But no Democrat is going to come out against Joe Biden.
No. And I mean, there's no world in which the incumbent
president
isn't going to be the nominee. So nobody.
You also don't have any Democrats like outwardly being like, oh, Joe Biden is like awful and I absolutely.
No, because they know he's doing an okay job for the president that. You know, I mean, it's also like, and then also like for what you can actually do as a president. But I don't want to get too far into this because I know a lot of these people are probably so sick of hearing about Biden at this point.
Oh, yeah, of course.
No, listen,
and I mean, just keep Auntie Kamala where she's supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, just keep Auntie Kamala where she's supposed to be.
VP, she need to lock more people up or something. I don't know. Lock up Trump. Lock up half those people. Do what you do best, Kamala.
We just got to keep Uncle Joe around for another 4 years. Please don't. Keep him on the best medicines possible. I have time. Yeah. So, like, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I see a world where Pete pops back up.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's probably what it's going to be in 2028. It'll be like him versus AOC.
When you can get my mama, who like is like religious and has just really kind of come around on who I am.
Yeah.
When you can get her saying, oh, yeah, you know, I like that guy. I'm like, all right,
okay,
there we go. You
okay,
might
so
be
just
cool.
Give it another 4 years. Okay.
Lame as hell, but you might be a cool candidate, which is good. We need a lame gay. We need attention gay people.
I don't want a cool gay.
I don't want a circuit gay running the White House. Everybody who was criticizing that man for being boring. Yes, gays can be boring too. We've all been on dates with one. Stop playing.
Yeah.
Now that you gave me the bullhorn, I'm making it loud and clear. Yeah. Don't you want gay boring? That's what you want.
They were
not gonna vote for anything else.
There was a point where they kept photoshopping goatees and shit on him, like facial hair.
No, leave that stale pale motherfucker alone and let him do his fucking job.
Let him be vanilla. Yeah, let him do his gig.
I will say if he becomes a candidate, I would be on that side for that.
We'll see what it's gonna. Who knows what it'll wrap up to be. I would date someone like a Pete Buttigieg at that point in my life, because I feel like men that be outside are just doing too much. I need a motherfucker that's in the house. Like, who you took,
extrapolate on that. Men who be outside, because you're coming for me right now. And you invited me as a guest, and I identify as a man outside.
But he was like, he was in the house for 2 months for paternal leave. And I'm like, I need someone who's in the house. You know where they're at. Maybe need a tracking device.
That's crazy, too, when you think about all the women who can't happen, who don't have access to paternal leave.
That is actually
That's really crazy, crazy that a gay white man got 2 months off of work, paid.
Don't quote me if it was exactly 2 months, but it was around then.
I mean, it was some time.
How long?
These women can't even get 2 days.
I know. I took like a week for vacation. Shit. The fuck? Is 2 months normal for maternal leave?
You asking the wrong motherfucker.
Okay, so I was watching. I've been watching the recent season of SNL. I've loved it.
Thank you.
My favorite. But I can never tell which skits are yours, so you have to like kind of tell me. But like
Okay, tell me your favorite, and then I'll explain to you how probably they're none of them. Yeah,
it's hard for me to remember. Okay, so, but like my favorite episode, I think, from the season so far was Molly Shannon. I think just for like.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just because the return factor, you know what I mean? She's a great icon, and I want to talk to you later about your favorites and stuff like that. But the first thing that hit me was like the American Girls skit.
American Girl Doll. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Molly Shannon episode. Yeah.
Was that the Molly Shannon?
Because we've actually done two. There's been two American Girl ideas, but one was a pre-tape. The other one was a live one. Travis Kelce episode. He played like this dude who brought two dolls with him to the American Girl doll. He was like this weird dude, you know, having a conversation about. It was very funny. It was very funny. But I think on the Molly Shannon one, you were saying.
I think it's the Anna De Armas or whatever.
Yeah, Anna De Armas is what you're talking about. Yeah. Okay. That was a pre-tape. Yeah, that was a really funny one too.
Also, the first Warm Day of the Year arrival show. It was like
episode.
From Central Park.
Yeah. Central Park, yeah.
But
shout out to Mikey and Streeter.
Yeah, great shit. This has been a good season.
Thank you. It's been fun. It's just like everybody that I got hired with last year, plus some new people, and like it's like a big turnover year. So like it's like a new. This is my second season, so it's all like a new vibe around. You know, coming off a really successful last season with all of those people leaving and moving on, and now it's just a fresher feeling, and everyone's vibing too. Like everyone's vibing. It's like everyone's like rooting for each other to like.
How many people are in the writers' room?
Hella people, man. It's like 20 of us. Shit, I would say.
Yeah, because I can't remember, because it was like Bowen Yang's been on here before, and he was telling me how many people were in the writers' room, and I was like, this sounds like fucking a lot of people. And is it a lot of people? And is it like every time you guys all work, it's like everyone's together, kind of brainstorming, or?
Yeah, I mean, it just everybody kind of breaks off into their groups, goes into their offices. You might get a text from somebody from, you know, from one office. Hey, I'm working on this idea. It's really collaborative, and like at some point, you all end up kind of. Helping each other out with punching up and rewriting the sketches as the week goes on. So it's like, it really is just like this big team collaborative effort to make, you know, the best show that everybody can make. And it's really exciting that like, you know, sometimes if you don't have a sketch on the show, you know, when it's time to pitch on things as a group, your sketch will likely end up on some. You'll hear it. You know, oh, I pitched that. You know, when you hear it back, like, oh yeah, cool. They used my thing. So there's a way to be involved with it, even if you have like a light week. So no one's ever feeling like too, you know, sad at the end of the week, because we all kind of like big each other.
Do you have a skit that you've done that you've worked on that you're the most proud of so far in your time then?
Well, I mean, I gotta say, the sketch that has been giving me the most attention off screen, I guess, or like, you know, when I'm walking around somewhere and people know the facts about the show and like know the up and down of like who writes what, during a Pedro Pascal's episode, the Lisa from Temecula sketch, where Stego plays the woman cutting the steak uncontrollably at the table,
and everyone was losing it.
Everyone's breaking, tables moving and destroying everything, and she's fucking shit up, talking about cook my meat. I really couldn't have imagined that sketch, you know, would have
be the one,
you know, that would take off like that. Because truly, I had a, I don't know if people are unfamiliar with how this sketch came to be, if you haven't seen the interviews and the articles and stuff, that was also just crazy that people are calling me to ask about the oral history of this sketch that truly just came at, like, it was one of my throwaway ideas, honestly.
That's, I went home for dinner
during, truly, like, I went home during the Christmas break, our little Christmas hiatus, and I went home to get dinner with my cousins. And one of my cousins, she ordered her steak extremely well. And she was telling the waiter, like, hey, I don't want to see any sort of blood, please. Like, I really need my steak cooked very well. Which we all knew, like, a lot of my cousins and I, we just like, oh, here she go. Like, she still does this. Like, who still does this? Who still eats like this? So she comes and gets her food, and like, I'm the only one who happens to notice that she's shaking the table.
Yeah.
A certain way. Like, drink, she wasn't doing it as violently, of course, as like Lisa was, as Echo was in the sketch, but like, I'm like looking at, and no one's saying anything to her, so she's just like moving the table. So I was like, oh yeah, this is definitely, maybe I'll write something like this for somebody. And like, truly, when we got back some weeks later, you know, me, Gary Richardson and Michael Che got together and just kind of riffed on it for like an hour and turned it in. It really was, we had other things that we were working on, and then when I brought it up, they were like, okay, let's work on that at some point. And so we got together, banged it out, rewrote it a little bit in the morning, and then like from that day on, once it got picked, the amount of attention from production like was just crazy. And I was like, is this getting ready to be a thing? And like, it, because you go into dress rehearsal with all of your doubts, like, oh, everything's going to go wrong, it's going to bomb, which we struggled in dress rehearsal to get it on because it did bomb. But we had technical stuff. That sketch has a lot of choreography because, like, is someone under the table help moving it a little bit to exaggerate the bit?
Yeah.
We got to instruct Ego on what to do, when to get up. It's just a lot of, like, movement. So the fact that we have twice been able to successfully pull it off is crazy. And I just,
anytime
got
there's
sent
a skit where people are losing their shit, like if everyone's losing character, breaking character, that's
yeah. And I just actually got sent an article that was written recently. I had seen that there was like some Facebook group, because the character is from Temecula, she's Lisa from Temecula, which is a name that we really didn't like.
Yeah,
we last minute, because the name of the sketch in the beginning of the week was just Birthday Dinner, and then we got calls saying she needs a name, and then we just kind of landed randomly in like 5 minutes on Lisa from Temecula, because I said Temecula because I just thought it's a city that I was aware of, and I was like, that's a funny thing to say. So we came upon that. But then once the sketch got legs and it went everywhere, I was seeing that like there was a Facebook group, a local Temecula resident Facebook group, and there was like a very split down the middle decision on how they felt about this character. I got sent this article the other day.
Yeah.
That there was more discussion after the second appearance of Lisa. There was really like an uproar of like, why does this character exist? And there was some woman gave a comment that said, if Lisa were really from Temecula, she would have Lululemon shorts on and a Starbucks cup.
Girl, what?
It's like, oh, so your critique is that Lisa just isn't every other woman walking down the street in every other city?
Yes.
It's crazy. But then we got some good feedback that were like, no, you guys, this brings peace, attention to our city. And she even, Ego even got invited to get dinner with the mayor of Temecula.
That's fucking amazing. You have to invite them, like, actually to the show then.
This shit has gone out of control. Okay. I could not imagine that it really still would be getting this much attention.
No, I still see it everywhere. Like,
but it's awesome.
It was like, yeah, it's amazing.
So yeah, that's my most successful sketch, I will say. I've had other ones, but that one certainly has like superseded all expectations for what growing I thought up, I was gonna do.
Growing up, you watched SNL?
I mean, I kind of hold for emergency. It's fucking city. It's just, oh, like, can, it's everybody, like, oh, yeah. It's, oh, like, can you hear it?
No, I can't hear anything.
Okay, this is a good mic then. Okay, yeah. Cool. What were you asking me again? I'm sorry.
Growing up, did you watch SNL?
Oh yeah, did I watch it? I mean, not when I was like a little kid. I mean, I would turn it on when I didn't, you know. Mm-hmm. The thing for me was like when I was a kid, if I didn't understand it, if I didn't really get it, I would like change the channel to some cartoons or something. So
okay,
when I was like, I didn't really start understanding SNL as like a thing to watch every night until I was about like 16. I was like, okay. Oh, but that is like
that's when, say when that's, some people follow, yeah,
people follow it, yeah. And I mean, so that was like your Bill Hader, like Kristen Wiig.
Oh, Kristen Wiig, no. That's okay.
I'm 34. Yeah.
Okay. I was like, shit. No, okay. Damn. So that makes sense.
You're trying to put me in the dirt over here, dog. Yeah.
Kristen Wiig, I think, is like maybe my favorite. I mean, she's up there. There's so
she's
many.
She's considered to be one of the greatest of all time. But yeah, I mean, so as good. I grew, as I think I started watching like a lot of it between high school and college. You know,
cast members that you specifically like loved, that you loved watching?
I mean, I've always, and I think everyone agrees that, you know, Kenan Thompson is the GOAT. Like, but
and how long? He's been there a minute, too. Like
20 years.
20 years?
That's 20 years.
That's fucking crazy. That's
it's wild. Like,
is that the longest running person?
I think that is a
that
fact.
Would be up
I think
there.
That factually,
yeah.
He is the art. Well, see, the thing is, I mean, as most of, I think this is not a new conversation for anyone, but I mean, I've been following Kenan since I was a little boy.
Yeah,
you know, since all that, and Kenan and Kale and Good Burger and all of that. So like, working with him is insane, and like sometimes it's like we have to like if Kenan does a lot of voiceover work too for the show. So like he did something for like my second sketch that I was ever on, and I had to like go, I was assigned to go in the like the sound booth to like watch over, like kind of give notes to him. And so he goes in there, does like three takes, and they come to me, everybody's looking at me like, okay Alex, do you have any notes for Kenan? I'm like, Kenan Thompson, what the fuck am I gonna tell him, dog? Yeah, yeah. My first year at this show, like, and they're like, no, he's cool, he'll take notes. I'm like, no, dog. I mean, I guess do it one more time to get us coverage, Kenan. But what the fuck am I gonna tell Kenan Thompson? This is crazy, dog.
Well, yeah, that's always good.
But he's cool as hell, yeah. And it's just really like wild every day to be like sitting next to him sometimes, like,
yeah, be like mind.
Ain't no that's way crazy. I'm sitting up here writing with this motherfucker. This is nuts. Yeah.
Are y'all done with this season right now?
Well, that depends on the strike, friend. I don't know.
Okay. Okay.
Truly, I don't know. But, I mean, we are scheduled to come back next week. But, you know, that is strike pending. Strike pending. Yeah.
Switching gears for a minute. Speaking of strikes, what do you feel about Frank Ocean dropping out of weekend two of the Coachella?
I knew
he was going to do that shit after the first. When I saw him up there in house slippers and a hoodie and no mic, just jamming. He looked like a homeless person in Union Square. You know, he was just vibing. Like, I mean, mic.
Yeah, I
was
like,
he's not coming back. Yeah, he's not coming back here.
I kind of feel like I can see a lot of different angles from this because, you know, I get people paid a lot of money to see their favorite artist. I mean, I'm pretty sure he drove. I would love to know the percentage. I would love for there to have been a polling of the percentage of ticket holders who bought passes for him. Just to see him. Because, I mean, if anything, that would give a qualitative, you know, number to the amount of people who he may have disappointed. Now, I'll say this. I think there are two things that could have happened differently here. Like, because we've already seen and heard the discourse about how people feel about whether, you know, people are going to feel either one way or the other about, you know, him now. But I think there's a way to look at it where, you know, he bared some responsibility as well as Coachella. I think both of them share a responsibility in not addressing the mental a bit, and I'm not calling him crazy or anything. I'm saying the mental bandwidth of holding down a show with this large an expectation. I think if it were impressed upon, and I'm not saying that it wasn't, because of course I don't have all this information, but I think Coachella should have maybe done a better job in seeing if he was mentally in a space where he definitely wanted to be there and show up. I also believe he should have maybe taken a little more.
Do you think it was a mental thing? I mean, I heard it was an ankle.
Well, so, we saw him jumping up and down, so I don't really know how much, you know. That's true, it's very hard to get away with a story like it's very hard to convince people of that when there is video footage of you jumping up and down. So I don't know. Again, it could be anything. I really don't know. I'm coming from a place of I wasn't there. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it live. I mean, I've seen clips of it, but you know, here's what I'll say. I have never really needed to see him live. And I'll say, I mean, and it has nothing to do with his ability.
I'm saying,
when I go to concerts, I am more of a performance-based concert goer. I want to see, and I definitely don't go to festivals, so that's already there. But I definitely like seeing people put forth, I mean, seeing you sit there and sing, I save that for a very particular artist, which is why I would go to see him live if it were intimate. In more of an intimate setting. Yeah. Right. He is more of an intimate setting performance type of player, much like your Don Tolliver. What's his name? Daniel Caesar. More like your Daniel Caesar, where if you're not going to move around, at least chill on stage and let me hear it from you live.
Yeah.
Which that could have been a moment for that, but I don't know if that plays as well on the Coachella stage. However, if we knew how many people came out for his show, they would come to expect that, you know, because no one's expecting him to jump up and down.
Yeah, they should have got an Escape in SWV.
So they got a whole fist fight and wig pull could happen. No, they don't do that. I'm not gonna paint them that way. They don't do that at all.
Please,
but
they'll be out there.
We've seen Candy almost do that though.
Yes, on the show, Mama Joy's. But no, they would be up there in flats and whatever. They'd be and up, just kind
no,
of, yeah.
they, no, you ain't see the
I'm
BET.
Joking. I'm joking.
Yeah, I'm about to say no. They can. It just no, still get
SWV,
down. Look,
they joke that.
Let's get it. Let's get it straight. All of them. All SWV. They all. Even though they up there in age. They all look like it's yanking down there, dog. Yeah. You know what I mean? they all have taken care of themselves, all of them.
It's
all
true,
both
it's true.
Groups. Yeah. Don't sleep on them. Yeah.
No, I'd have no desire to go to Coachella at this point. It's like
I never have.
Now it's like it's freezing at night. Everyone's covered in aluminum blankets.
Who wants to camp, dog? At big ages, that is for your early 20s and shit. All these
That's
motherfuckers
so
who's in their 30s still going to Coachella. Like, come on, dog.
Yeah, no.
Come on, dog. Go to therapy.
And go to therapy. What else happened this week? Don Lemon got fired the same day as Tucker Carlson.
Yeah. I mean,
He was getting on my fucking nerves at this point.
I'm mad at CNN though. I'm really mad at CNN about this, and not because they fired him. Someone had to have known in them CNN offices that firing at Fox News was getting ready to take place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They definitely said Don Lemon.
Well, they didn't though. That's the whole thing. They said that they didn't know.
I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe that for us. We've been all up in Fox News' business for the past, like, what, 6 months with this Dominion case?
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden they didn't have the... Because now I just don't like seeing... Because I saw it when I was out in a store today, and I saw, like, a magazine or, like, a newspaper article with both of their faces face-to-face.
Yeah,
dual firings. And I'm like, man, that's not fair because, you know, one was doing one thing. The other one was doing something completely different. And, if I'm dying...
One was literally
like,
trying to dismantle our democracy, and then the other one was
like,
maybe
the fuck
just
they got my picture next to this bullshit for? You know what I mean? That's fucked up, you know? So I think they could have done better on a PR level for that man. No matter what, he could have been wrong, you know, with what he did. If, you know, if that was the case, then just fire this motherfucker a week later or something. You know, no one was going to say nothing.
One thing about Don Lemon, he gonna have some crazy stories about him. One thing about Don Lemon.
You think so? Well, I don't know. All I know is we go to the same barber. So, you know, I don't, you know, I got some reverence for the dude, man.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like everybody I've ever met that's like, oh, I've met Don Lemon before, they always have some crazy story about him. So I'm
really?
Like, I don't know. Yeah, I've never met him, but.
Well, I mean, you know, we all, the country shares a crazy story about him. Wasn't he the motherfucker that got drunk on New Year's and got his fucking ear pierced?
I don't remember that.
Like, he really revolutionized New Year's. It was every year you were like, yo, Don Lemon is about to cut up, dog. Like, he's about to act a fool.
He
New
sounds
Year.
Like he gets very fucked up in general.
And who doesn't want a party boy like that on a news squad? I mean, I hate that his career trajectory took such a dark turn with CNN, but I mean, I kind of miss New Year's Rockin' Eve, New Year's Eve with Don Lemon, seeing this motherfucker.
We need some messier people on the news, though.
Yeah, we do. But I mean, we got enough. Look, no, we don't actually. We don't need the news to be entertaining. We need it. I was getting ready to fall
into
that turn.
Okay.
We need the news to be straightforward. We need the news to be news again. That's okay.
Make the news again.
Yeah.
Bed Bath & Beyond closed. or not closed. They're going, Chapter 11 bankruptcy, but
yeah,
they're
I
got to
get down to 6th Avenue for that going out of sale. I got to get some tiles. Yeah, yeah. And I just ordered some tiles from Brooklinen. I mean, no ad. I ain't giving them no promo, whatever, my fault. But I mean, I got to go to Bed Bath & Beyond now. I got to get, you know, them tiles probably about to be, I'm about to buy some shit I don't even need.
My friend
said
bring weapons.
About to be cheap. You said what?
My friend said, bring weapons.
Bring weapons? Why?
Because it's going to be fighting over fucking bed.
I don't think it's going to be that crazy. Maybe when you get out it's further into America, you get out.
That's true, actually. If I went to like a Long Island one.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I don't know. But if you've been in that 6th Ave one, I don't know. It's pretty.
I mean, it gets a little wild, but it is right around the corner from Boxers. So what do you expect?
Yeah, exactly.
That's wild behavior for
that's
a community.
That's true. I want to talk to you. Well, actually, tell me a bit about your list, because we are about to head into the bonus episode, but I want to hear about your list, because I told you to bring your list.
All right.
Of your thing that you're either into right
that you
now.
Did, that you took and threw right out of the fucking window.
I said, well, I don't know nothing about any of that, so. Was that your whole list?
I mean, that was the list. Okay, that was the three things. Okay. All right, so. Abbott Elementary, which I'm sure your listeners, if not you, I mean, I'm sure your listeners are plugged in.
So I was watching the entire first season. I started with the second, but I kind of fell off a bit. I'm hard with scripted stuff, and I watch so much unscripted, and then I watch like trash and then the news. And Abbott is just like so good that it's it sits kind of over there, and it's not as like an urgent watch for me. So then I just fall off, and I'm like, oh shit, I haven't watched it in like... But I'm happy. Listen, I'm happy for everybody. I love
if you're Kinta. If you're a binge watcher, it's a really easy binge. I'll say that. The episodes move really quick, and you kind of fall. You know, you kind of fall in line with the characters. It's a really easy watch. You know, if you because everybody right now is watching harsh stuff. You know, everybody's watching all the serious stuff. Abbott is feel good. You know, it's gonna end on something sweet but and meaningful. But it's also like you know. Oh, it's gonna leave you in suspense a little bit. So and there's a lot of cool people on the show. It's very fun. To me,
is
it's
her
very
name,
enjoyable.
The comedian is it Janelle? What's her name?
Janelle James.
That's right.
I'm Principal Avery. And you're always gonna get something really wild out of her in that episode. Always a gem. So yeah, I've been having a good time watching that. My second one is a Succession, of course. I'm behind on Succession because I was following along and then life happened and I got really busy, so I couldn't keep up. But I mean, you know, I'm personally in the shit right now based on where I am in my watching. I'm team Shiv all the way, but she's just a diabolical, ruthless, messy,
and
poor of a woman, and I love it.
Is she the sister?
She's the sister.
With the red hair? Okay.
And see, I mean, she's just, again, her character is just so fucking smart, but also so fucked up and kind of naive in like the best way. But I'm speaking based on where I am. And if people who are diehards who are already ahead of me probably can sense what season I'm on.
Okay.
I think they can sense what season I'm on, if you can. Because you said,
this
oh, but you don't. So yeah, they can sense
where I am.
This
is the final season, right? That we're on right now?
This is the final season. And although I already have seen some spoilers of it, I'm like, all right. I there's still a lot that I haven't seen to kind of make it, you know, still a oh to me, like a surprise to me, yeah, which I'm happy about.
Again, a show that I was following at the very beginning, fell off of.
I mean, I'm in that boat with you, and we probably started watching around the same time. But for me, I'm back on the train. I'm like, oh yeah, here we go. This is where I left off.
I'm gonna do it.
Get back into it. I mean,
I need to put this thing to use for somehow because these fucking streaming services, it's like HBO Max, I'm paying for it, but I'm not using it. I need to just like...
Come on, what you doing?
I'm paying for it. I'm just not using it.
You doing what I do with the gym. I'm just giving Equinox money to, you know, just to say I did.
Yeah.
Which is going to change one of these days, I promise. And then lastly, the thing that ties up the trifecta very nicely... Baddies South, or just the Baddies franchise in general.
Okay.
Now, hold on, because you got to see me. Hold on, let me turn. Hold on, let me turn on my lights. It's getting dark in my apartment. Hold on.
I'm watching this show. Well, actually, I've seen one episode.
Oh, you've seen one episode. Okay.
So actually, this is Baddies West. We're talking about Baddies West because
you were saying Baddies South.
Well, let's just start here.
Okay.
Was
this is a Zeus
fan.
Show, by the way, guys. So.
Zeus, black owned programming, in the worst way.
Don't own
not
that.
The best way.
Don't claim that.
No, they do. They do. You know, hey, they can do what they got to do. I mean, it is. Listen, first of all, for those unaware of Zeus Network, which I assume is the lot of the listeners of this program.
No, they know because Jonathan talk about it all the time.
Cool.
If you subscribe to Zeus, though, on a like a monthly basis, you're hectic. You're kind of crazy.
I dip in and out.
So here's what I did.
I was at work. I was at SNL one night, and I had it playing, a clip of it playing with my boy Devin, who's on the cast, Devin Walker, and Gary Richardson, a writer. We're those two of my best friends, and we also worked together on the show. And so I had it playing, a clip of it on YouTube, and they were like, what the fuck is that? And I was like, oh yeah, Zeus is like this thing. Now, at this point, me describing it to him, I had not yet bought a subscription. I was just watching it in clips online and shit. But they watched the trailer for Baddies West, and Gary was like, how much is a yearly subscription to this thing? It's like $60. And I was like, he was like, we should all go in on a subscription. So I shared a Zoop subscription. Now, I'm probably the only one actually using it.
Support black businesses, y'all.
Two straight black men and a gay dude split a Zeus account. Now, I'm probably watching most of the program, and I'm sure of that, actually. But Baddies just finished Baddies West. Now, I was a big fan of Bad Girls Club because it came on at my most volatile, hectic moment in my life, which I was in college. So it was very messy, and I really enjoyed seeing just young women rip each other's fucking heads off every week. I was that gay. I was that boy. I just fucking loved watching it. Girls Club, far, far better programming than Baddies. I will say that. The whites really knew how to make reality programming. And it was leave us to our shit, it's just too much. It's just too fucking much. We need Bad Girls Club back.
They didn't know how to like racial dynamics and stuff like that and how to deal with that while they were filming. They were talking about a house full of black girls,
you know, it's just like, all right, y'all all saying the same shit, y'all doing the same shit, like y'all trying to prove the same shit. So Baddies is just like,
but then the white girls wouldn't know what to say. Like they were just like, it was like,
that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, that was
like
why it was
a bunch of different young women from different walks of life who got a little chip on their shoulder about life.
You literally just described Real Housewives of Atlanta for the season 1 through 3.
There you go. But this is multicultural, you know. You had the two black girls, three maybe blind white girls, the black girl who grew up around white people maybe, and then who got along with Latino girls, and you had a little Latino girl. Maybe you had did they ever have an Asian bad girl? I think they had one. Was Aaliyah? See, you're making me go back into
you're probably world, mixing but, up a flavor of love.
But I always, hey, maybe. But the overlap on that show and there probably is somewhere close. But, you know, but then Natalie Nunn. Bad Girls Club gave us Natalie Nunn. And then the most famous chin in the world besides Jay Leno. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I love to hate and hate to love Natalie. It's just, she's just entertained me for a very long time. And just watching her kind of still be the same thing she's been since she was like,
no growth,
23 years old.
Well, some growth. She's bigger.
I don't know. I don't know if there's been any at all.
Well, she's bigger. I mean, that's what I'm going to say.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, you know, as you get older, your body changes, but your internal should also change with it. Hey, man. All I know is she has entertained a certain amount of the population for a while. We got to give that up. That's some lasting power, you know.
I'm going to have to definitely re-up my Zeus for the summer, at least, I think, because you just convinced me. But I wanted to watch.
I finish watching Baddies, I always feel like I just got off a roller coaster without wearing a seatbelt somehow. I'm just a little bit dizzy. I'm just like kind of like, there was some boring, there's always boring moments too, though. You just end up fast forwarding through some of that shit because they don't know how to edit.
Not Zeus, these people.
I don't know who Zeus is hiring to edit, but it's just always a lot of B-roll. It's like 20 minutes of B-roll, 10 minutes of actual dialogue, you know, and the rest of it's like someone's
cousin was editing the entire thing. Like
them
it's
beating the fucking sonic rings out of each other and shit, like for a solid 2 minutes. I mean, there are some moments where they start squaring up the fight.
Sonic rings.
You can see the security waiting for a second to break up the fights. It's like, hey, come on. She just hit her in the eye.
Why are y'all working in a delay? It's crazy.
It's really kind of wild. But yeah, you know.
I want to watch the Bad Boys one.
See, I'm a little skeptical of that, man, because like, there's a difference between watching, and this is gonna sound like sexism, but it's truly just me out of pure, you know, it's kind of like what I don't watching women go head to toe, you know, head to head and fight. Do you watch the dudes fighting? Like it's one dude they got on there that just be wailing on dudes like yo hands, his hands should low key be registered. The way he punches dudes, and I'm like, man, this is a bummer, dog. I don't want to see motherfuckers get knocked clean out, dog. That's just not cool. So yeah, that's my only gripe with that. But I mean, I guess I'm gonna watch it at some point. At some point, I'm gonna be like, well, what are these motherfuckers doing?
I'm fully watching all this shit now.
Yeah. But see, so yeah, Succession. I got a little bit of serious. I got my drama. Abbott, I got my feel good.
You feel and good.
My trash. And then I got my trash.
That's really three baddies. Levels. Wow, that's really good.
Yeah. That explains
that's well thought
me.
Out. I like that.
And I've always moved that way. That is how that is a piece.
That's
of
a way
how
to live
explained.
Life.
That is, I'm a very balanced individual. I think.
I want to go over to the bonus episode and talk a bit about superlatives with SNL and stuff like that, and get more into the SNL work. Tell the people where to follow you on social, and tell them if you have anything coming up that you wanted to. I know you've got a show coming up tonight. That's obviously going to be too late by the time this airs. But anything else coming
up? They're already sitting down. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I got a. Oh well, on social media, on Instagram, I'm Alex English. When you spell English, you use
a three.
A three for the E.
Okay.
So A-L-E-X, three, and then English. Yeah. Okay. So that's that. I mean, Instagram. I mean, I don't really use my Twitter as much, so you can feel free to go on that. But yeah. And then I'm gonna be doing, damn, I wish I had my dates, but if you go to my Instagram,
it should be on there.
I will post, yeah. I'm gonna be in San Francisco. I'm doing Punchline San Francisco. I got another one. I'm gonna be in Sacramento in June. Both of those dates are in June.
Okay.
So look for me there. You can go on their websites, actually. If you live in Sacramento, look up the Punchline. If you look in San Francisco, Punchline, if you look me up,
y'all know.
I'll be there. Yeah.
Y'all, he's so good. You guys have to see him live. That's why
Thank you.
Like, it was so good.
Thank you.
It's just so funny. Guys, know where to find me on social media. Go to patreon.com/thebeelist to subscribe to the bonus episode. And we're going to continue talking over there. It's going to be good. Bye, guys.
Bye.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.